God bless you in the name of Jesus. Certainly be glad to be here and worship with you and to preach. And welcome our visitors who are here with us to worship. Thank you for your prayers and your support this week. My mind spent a lot of time thinking about God this week. The book of the letter to the Galatians, Paul said, when you walk in the Spirit, you live in the Spirit. So if your mind is thinking about something besides God, then there's a good tendency, there's a good probability you might not walk in the Spirit. And so I think it's good that we walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And everything we do is for the same purpose, the same priority, and that is the work of God the Father. And when we're thinking about how much money we can make to give away, there's a completely different spirit that's controlling our hands than when we are thinking about how much money we can make for another reason. I think the point that I'm trying to make is that the Bible is true when it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll live in the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, therefore, you'll walk in the flesh. And my mind's been quite full this week about God. And then yesterday morning, a brother, a friend of mine, and sent me a text, and he said, did you see that sentence in the Sunday school lesson? And no, I had not yet, because I had not spent a lot of time in the Sunday school lesson. And he sent me a little picture of it, and he had it underlined. And I mentioned it to the brothers in our Sunday school class, and so exciting, because there it said that what I always believed, it said something in addition to that, I always believed that the new covenant came in when Jesus died. But it's bigger than that, folks. It came in when he resurrected, because he was the executor of his own will and testament by right of resurrection. Nobody here is like that. A couple of months ago, my wife had an uncle that died, and he had a little bit of money, and he was unmarried, and he spread it out between, I think, about 35 grandchildren. So it wasn't so much it came this way, but it was the first money that I'd ever inherited. How many of you have ever inherited money? It's kind of a good feeling. And after the funeral, we went into the basement of the church, and the executor of his will got out the will and read it. And Uncle Aiden was over there in the grave. We just buried him. But his power of attorney came there and read the will to us. The heirs. Those who were going to receive the inheritance. We got the will. And he read what was in that will. Folks, Jesus Christ is the executor of his own will and testament. The sons of God The sons and daughters of God, and anyone's name is in the will who repents and believes and obeys and accepts it. What if I'd have said, Uncle Aiden, I don't want any of your money? You'd have called me crazy. And forgiven. And not only that, joint heirs with God the Father. Joint heirs with the Son. He's the executor. He has the power to do so. To execute his own will and testament. And it's the Word of God. Folks, that's exciting to me. And then some brothers in the Sunday school lesson, as I was sharing some of that, even added that. And as you start at the beginning of the Word of God and read to the end, it's all about Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. And we have it. I have a number of copies of it. And I'm so inclined to believe, again, that I must be a student of the Word. And I know how much short I have come from being a student of the Word of God, the will and testament, which tells me and shows me and outlines to me Well, maybe that's just an introduction, but kind of a overarching thought and added to my thoughts about God this week. I think I'll skip some more parts here from the beginning that I had wanted to share with you, that I'll just leave that. I'll leave that as an overarching thing. I want to speak this morning on a message that I preached, and I noticed in my notes was back in March of 04. How many of you were here in March of 04? It was about 11 years ago. So those of you who put up your hand, you will probably remember some of the thoughts, but any preacher of the Word knows that you don't just pull out old notes and re-preach the old notes. You must have, sometimes maybe that happens, I'm not sure about that, but I know that if you're going to re-preach, if you're going to teach, then you need the inspiration of it. You need the mind and the heart of God in it, or it's going to go flat. And so I want to, in some way, and I have a different title this morning. The title of this message this morning is God Your Lord. Is God your Lord? So that's been 11 years ago when I preached this message, but some of you probably will, I pray, remember them. It is one of the reasons that I don't generally preach messages over, because if a message is preached and comes from the heart of God and goes into your heart, then you'll remember it. And if you don't remember it, then either the preacher didn't do his work or the Spirit of God didn't do his work, one of the two. But this morning I'd like to preach primarily about the name of God, the names of God. And some of this will be dominated from the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, God began, in the very opening pages of the Bible, He began to reveal Himself and show man who He was. And finally it says, "And through His Son, He came in the flesh to show on earth who He was." And there's a lot of darkness in the Old Testament, or shadow. And so we know that. And so the whole Word of God has its value, though we live by the New Covenant. And we don't adore the Old Testament in the same way that we adore the New Testament. Not in the same aspect. We don't fall down before it. You know, I heard a Seventh-day Adventist man who was debunking Seventh-day Adventism. He used this story about the man who got off the airplane. He had been away for quite some days, and he loved his wife, and his wife loved him, and she came running out on the tarmac to meet him as he got off, and the sun was shining, and his shadow was there before him, and she fell down on the shadow. She just didn't get to the real. She fell down on the shadow. She didn't embrace the real. Well, people who sometimes do that with the Old Covenant. But I'd like to look at the names of God this morning and draw some thoughts from that. I want to underscore before I go very far that Christ is in the Old Covenant. Christ is in the Old Covenant. Christ was all over the Old Covenant. 69 times in Genesis chapter 1, the very first book of the Bible. The book of beginnings. In Genesis, pardon me. In the book of Moses. And that's what the word, in words like beginning. In the beginning, God. That word beginning is the Hebrew root alpha. The beginning. In the words like created, in the words like word, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the words like made, in words like light, in words like us, in words like our, in our image. 69 times in Genesis 1, the first book of the Bible, Christ is showing. And I just want to make that connection as we go along, that Christ is in God. And Christ is in the Old Testament Scriptures. And so this name study is huge. The study and the names of God is huge and comprehensive. And As I thought about that, I don't know why my mind went to that, and I wanted to dig out my old notes, and so I did. And so they are not exactly the same, but there are some similarities, of course. And I just wanted to preach about that. Even though I'd preached about it 11 years ago, I wanted to do that, and I want to do that this morning. And I'm going to use the board here, try to help you get a hold of this study a little bit. It's a beautiful study of God. And I'm going to begin in Genesis chapter 1 this morning. You can open your Bibles there, and we're going to look at a number of scriptures. And I would like to look at the name that God revealed Himself in the way, in the name that He revealed Himself right here in Genesis chapter 1. And you will find here in Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning God," and that is... It says here in the opening books, opening words of the Bible, "In the beginning, God," and that is the first name that I would like to look at this morning, God. It's right here in Genesis chapter 1. In Strong's, you will find this. If you look in your Strong's Concordance, you will find this as number 430. That's the numbering that Mr. Strong put. Number 430, and you will find Elohim. And I'm going to put it up here like you said. From the old covenant, from the old Hebrew scriptures, this name, when you read in your King James Version, your King James translation, in the beginning, it would read, "In the beginning, Elohim," in the beginning, God. And you'll find this is the same word used out throughout the scriptures for magistrates and kings. And you also find this plural form, El means singular, and you'll find this used for gods, say as the gods of the Gentiles. Sometimes singular, meaning just El or Elohim. El being singular and Elohim being plural. So there's many facets to this and many gods in a sense. But for simplicity, I'm just going to clarify here and use this word right here. The God in the beginning, God, mean in the beginning, Elohim. And it's translated in your King James Version this way, and this is important. Don't miss this. G, uppercase, O, lowercase, D, lowercase. God. When you see in your King James Bible and you're reading it and the word is God, it means Elohim. It's translated from this Hebrew word. It means a deity. It means supreme. Or like the meaning of El means the Most High. Singular. Most High. In today's language, we might use words like omnipotent or sovereign. But particularly, the meaning is the power and the authority and the right to govern long term. See, the heathens and the Gentiles and our ancestry, they had Elohims also. Satan has power. He can even perform signs and wonders. But only as he is given it. He has no power except that he is given it. Or only as God controls it or allows it by his providential will. So is Pharaoh's magicians and Nebuchadnezzar's astrologers and the revelation beast and the false prophet and the satanic trinity in the revelation of Jesus Christ in the closing pages of your Bible. And this name means that God is Most High. He is supreme. Our humanity cannot get hold of it. Or he is one that reigns. Not only has he had the power, he is the source of all power. I'll give you a little illustration. In other words, he may do and can do and does do what he decides to do. This week I was working on a study guide for upcoming winter Bible school. And just this little bunny trail, it occurred to me that God named the dry land earth and the firmament heaven. And then he decided to delegate the naming of the animals to Adam. And my mind started to spin. I thought, well, why did he do that? And I had to conclude, because he is Elohim. I don't know all the answers, but the Bible says it, and I believe it. He may do it. This name is descriptive of a God who is supreme. We can't get a hold of this because everybody in our life, okay, every man has met his equal. Some people are too proud to know it, but every man has met his equal. And some are too ignorant to know it, but every man in this world has met his equal. Everything is relative here with us and among us. But this is not true of God. God has no equal and has never met an equal. That's what this name means. And when you pick up your Bible and you read it, and you read this simple word, G-O-D, it is translated and means supreme. That is what this means. See, when we read our Bibles, it's good to know what's there. And the more we can learn, and the more we understand, the more beautiful it gets, and the more we desire it. And so we read this word, and it is thousands of times in the Word of God. But when it's written and translated, G-O-D, it's translated and it means supreme being of high heaven, deity. And there's so much of my life that wants logic. It wants to figure it out. And it's good to figure out something if you have a piece of machinery or you have a car. The more you know about that thing and the more you figure it out about it, the better you are equipped to make that thing operate, because when it doesn't operate, at least you know how it functions. Well, brothers and sisters, that will never be true about God. The more we learn about the God, the more we learn we don't know about God. And the more we have to trust Him. The other option is Harvard. And the more they learn about science, the more they say, He must not be, because I can't figure Him out. But he that is of a contrite spirit, something very different happens. As he studies and tries to understand G-O-D, God, he knows less and less and less. And his faith must get higher and higher. And he must finally say, I don't understand it, but I believe it. How could a man, how could this come down in man and die and rise again from the dead and be his executor of his own will? In Psalm 62, I'll give you an example. If you're reading in the Old Testament, in your King James Version, in Psalm 62:11, it will read like this. Elohim hath spoken. Now in your translation, it says G-O-D. You can open your Bible, Psalm 62. I have it on my notes, but you can read it. Elohim. And those of you who have a Strong's Concordance, look this up. God, G-O-D, Elohim hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. That power belongeth unto Elohim. And here is this word. In Psalm 7, verse 11. It's just a few examples. It's just a number of them. God, Elohim, judgeth the righteous, and Elohim, the singular. And El is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 9, verse 17 is another example. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget Elohim. And so we sometimes read the Bible, and we read the word God, but we don't get the picture. At least that is me. And I know that when we discuss or when we remind ourselves again of the supreme deity of God, it affects my life. And the very thing that I'm doing at the moment. And this had a very special meaning to the Hebrews and should have a very special meaning to us. A very special place with the Hebrews. It meant a deity that could govern long range. not only long range, but with scope. And not only with scope, but with eternal scope. And not only with eternal scope, but with eternal view. See, most of my plans are short range. I only get about halfway through the day until I understand that. And sometimes I only get into the first hour and I understand that my plans were short range. Because I thought that I was going to do it this way, but suddenly it comes out another way. Short-sighted, inability to plan and perform. But this God, this Elohim, you remember that story in Elijah? And I've often wondered about that story because it seemed like Elijah was having a little fun there. He said, "Your Elohims, are they sleeping? I mean, why isn't some fire coming down? You've been beating yourselves and cutting and dancing like a bunch of ridiculous men all day, and nothing has happened. Why don't you call a little louder? Why don't you yell? Maybe you would hear. Maybe your Elohim would hear." And then old brother Elijah began to pray. And he prayed to the singular God of heaven. And he said, "Show us who you are." And fire came down and consumed the whole thing. This name of God is converse to man and to our fearful and weak nature of created men and their gods, and to all the things that men idolize and seek after to please, and all the modern gods and idols of the sinful world. Those things are not permanent and eternal, but this God, G-O-D, is eternal. When you read your Bibles, think. Jesus said about all these gods that will pass away, and what will it profit you if you gain the whole world or if you trust in them? What will it profit you if you gain this whole world? Well, the answer is simple. Nothing. In the beginning, Elohim. In the beginning, God. He started a plan. And He's going to finish it. And it's revealed in His will and testament. Finally, He will end His plan. Bible begins and ends with this original word picture of God. Power to plan and finally fulfill. No other Elohim, no other God has that power. None. No other man. God is the God of vengeance and law. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. And this is why we believe that God is not non-resistant. And we all believe that there is a hell unto which God will cast sin that would not be non-resistant in our terms of non-resistant. That's why we believe in a hell, because there is a God who can and does. God is not non-resistant. He has given us an age of peace. This is why we believe in hell. He has decided a time and a covenant of peace when Gentiles may come in and be saved. But then there will be a time when grace for sin is over. And when judgment will be executed severely and with severe judgment. And this we understand very clearly from the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, now He is our mediator, but in death He will be our judge. That's why it matters how you live. That's why it matters how I live. Because now He is our mediator, but one day He will be our judge. And we have all these thorny scriptures. We imbibe all this Protestant theology that works are nothing. We have all these thorny scriptures here and there which say that you will be judged by the things that you do. And so forth and so on. It's good to read the scriptures, and it's good to know that there is an Elohim God that we don't always understand. And I heard a brother expounding on this week. And he said, yeah, when you read the scriptures, there's all these thorny things. And it's best just to believe that there must be something that I don't understand and I don't know about yet. This name speaks of his character, which has both authority and authority to do all things. And it is why we believe this morning that he decides to do it, he may and can and does. Remember that picture I told you that hangs on my wife's sewing room wall? Of a lion and a lamb. You remember me telling you that? If you don't, I'm telling you again. It hangs there. I used to call that an oxymoron. There's another word for it. It's a teneme. A teneme is a better word for it. It means two equal and powerful principles of truth. Both of them equal, but seeming contradictory. Here. A teneme. It's a new word. I don't think you'll hear me use oxymoron anymore, because oxymoron means two contradicting things, but teneme has a stronger emphasis. It means two equal truths. He is both Lamb and King. He's both mediator and judge. This is God. See, one of my best friends told me this week that my weakest faith is weak. He said, "Your faith must be very weak," or something like that. He didn't say it that way. Because I do need both past history and modern history. I need that. I will accept that my faith is weak. I will. My faith is very weak. Often my faith is weak. My faith is often weak because all around this little comment, I'm trying to get my work in, all the checks that need to be written, and all the things that need to be done, all the work that needs to be done, all the song that needs to be done, everything needs to be done, and the car that needs fixed, and the one that went down, and all the things that bomb me in my Western world, I am willing to accept this morning that I'm a very weak Christian. But when I see the true nature, when I see through past history and modern history, and when I see this Elohim, this God working, it bolsters my weak faith. I need it, folks. I need it. I really do. I'm willing to admit that to my friend. But when I can see that God is God in nature, in the prophetic word, in my present circumstances, in all parts of my life, in my surroundings, when I can see that, I can get a hold of it. He's sovereign. I may argue with him, but I should not. You know, there's two distinct scriptures. The one is in the context of life, Philippians chapter 2, where it says, "And every knee should bow and every tongue should confess." And then there's the scripture we often confuse with it, but it's a completely different situation. It's talking about the judgment, and it says, "Every knee shall bow and every knee shall confess." And it's in Romans chapter 14. Just the difference in the word shall and should. That is this God. And then there's Jehovah. In the Strong's, you'll find it as number 3068. Jehovah. In your translation, in your King's translation, this is what you're going to see when you read Jehovah. You're going to see or uppercase. It is no mistake when you read your King James Bible and see Lord uppercase and God uppercase. That's not insignificant. It's extremely significant because it's translated from the word Jehovah. Another name, Hebrew name of God, Jehovah. So when you read that and you see it in the Bible, it has a very, very significant meaning. Do you know that publishers and authors are often in conflict because the author has used a specific word. He has used a word. He's chosen a word. He put that word there and he wrote that word there because he wanted to give a meaning. So in the publishing world, and then the editors come along and they kind of miss that. And they go exit out or use it something else. And then you have a conflict between the publisher and the author. Because the author meant something by what he said. Well, that is the truth here. And in the inspired word of God, it has no publisher. The author was Elohim. Through the Spirit, through the writers. There is no author, there is no conflict. The writer meant what he said. And no publisher's editing it out. So when you read in your Bible, let me give you an example of this. Turn your Bibles to... Okay, it's right in the third chapter. Oh, it's in the second chapter. Don't know if it's in the first chapter. Okay, open up your Bibles and let's look at the very first place that I'm laying my eyes on it. Probably verse 7 of chapter 2. No, it's in chapter 5, verse 5 already. Okay, do you see it there? And every plant of the field before it was the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God. The Jehovah Elohim had not caused it. And on and on and on. 6,528 times in the King James Version, you'll see this. And this name of God was so holy and reverend by the Hebrew people that they, by the year 300 B.C., they wouldn't even say it. And so they gave it this, and I'm sure you have saw this before. You can't say that because it doesn't have vowels in it. That's why the English can't say that word. It doesn't have vowels. So they just gave it that letter, those letters. It means self-existent one. It means eternal one. It means all of these things plus... And more importantly, it means holiness and righteousness and love and mercy and grace and justice. And it is where we see Christ shine in the Old Testament. And also it means relationship. This God did not just start creation and then, like Benjamin Franklin and most of the people that formed the Constitution of this United States in which we live, they believed that God just, and there's a name for it, but I'll just give it to you. They believed that God just wound it up like you wind up your chime clock and left it go. No. God did not just wind it up. Deitus, that's the name for it. God didn't just start creation, wind it up, and then let it fly. He was a God who wanted to have a relationship with you. And when it was broken by Eve, guess what? Immediately he installed the salvation plan, which was in his mind before he even created us. Just look in Genesis chapter 7, and you'll notice the difference between God Elohim and this saving God. In Genesis chapter 1, look who was relating with Noah in chapter 1. And the Lord said, this word right here, and the Lord said, come into the ark, their salvation. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, it was Jehovah, it was the Lord who appeared to Moses in the wilderness at the bush. And so forth and so on. And when Jesus later on was arguing with those unbelief, he was talking about this and he finally said, I am that I am. And he used those words there that were used in a burning bush. Immediately, what happened? They knew what he said. What did he say? When Jesus said, I am, and repeated the words that happened at the burning bush, what did the Jewish people know that Jesus had just said? Brother John, I am Elohim. Very good. They knew exactly what he meant. Now, because of time, you're going to lose a bunch of stuff here. But there's Jehovah Jireh. There are various forms in the Bible. I think 10 of them. I'll just quickly point out of them. Jehovah Jireh, God said there in Genesis chapter 22 where the sacrifice was of his son, and God provided Jesus, the lamb, the ram. He provided Jesus. Okay, you got that? And then God said, and then Abraham said, this is Jehovah Jireh. That is, I will provide. Now, it's interesting that in the book of Moses, and Moses wrote all these books, he had already called Elohim Jehovah. But in Exodus there, in Exodus 3:4, it's specific there. It says, I was not known before this, but now I am known as Jehovah Jireh. I'll quickly go on. This name means God will provide. Do you need anything provided? See, God will see to it. Elohim will see to it. And on and on. And so, that is one meaning. Through nature, through events, God will provide. And accepting God for who He is when it seems impossible. And Romans chapter 3 gives probably the clearest definition of faith in the Bible when it talks about Abraham, and it says, that which is not as though Abraham believed that which was not as though it already was. In other words, the promise said there's going to be a son, and it had not happened yet, but Abraham believed it like it already had happened. And so we have many things in this Word of God which we believe, though they have not yet been so. But because God is who He is, it will be so. Jehovah Nissa. You'll find this one if you're taking notes in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. And the children had just come to Mount Horeb and they were desperate for water. And Amalek had discomfited the people with the sword. And there had been a war and there was much bloodshed. And Moses said, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissa. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my... Okay, we don't know what that means. The Lord is my flag. People put up all kinds of flags. They put flags on their bumper stickers. They put flags on their mud flaps. People identify themselves by certain flags of certain kinds of haircuts or hairstyles. A certain kind of clothes they wear, certain kind of phone they carry, certain kind of job they have, certain kind, all kinds of flags. All kinds of flags. When you have a flag, it means, I like this thing. It kind of represents who I am. Listen, Jehovah Nissa is representing, it's the flag of God. I think I'll just leave it. What does your flag say? Does it say Jehovah? Leviticus 28 is another name, Kadesh. And God says there, I am the Jehovah God which sanctifies you. I need some sanctification. I really do. It means growing. It's the growing name. It's the name which God grows us like Him. And He does it through chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12 says, when I need growth, He chastises me, He punishes me. He brings stuff in my life. It comes by reading the Word in 1 Peter again, where it says, born again by the Word of God. You thought you were born again once? The Bible says, born again by the Word of God. Every time you read it, you get born again. It's a sanctification process. Born again by the Word of God. That's why we have to keep reading it. Because it keeps going out somewhere. It keeps falling out somewhere. It falls out when I'm trying to get that combining done. It falls out because I'm frustrated with what's happening. And I need it. Born again by the Word of God. It happens by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians it says, quench not prophesying. Quench not the Spirit. It happens when the Holy Spirit works in my life. It happens by preaching. In 1 Thessalonians he says, despise not prophesying.
And it doesn't mean the prophecy that I was talking about earlier. It means preaching. Don't despise the preacher. Don't despise what the preacher says, because what the preacher says, it's the way he grows me. One of the ways. It's the way I grow. Preaching. Preaching of the word. He does it by the elders of the assembly. In Hebrews 13, obey those who have the authority. That's John and Vernon. It's a thorny scripture, isn't it? That's what it says. I believe it. It's how I grow. It's the growing name. And growing comes anywhere that the Spirit of God is active and living, and where I'm following it. Where I am accepting the will and testament. And then there's Jehovah Jalem. Shalem. It means peace. You find that in Judges chapter 6. I just need to go on. The next name is number 77. 56. And there's only four, so it won't be too long yet. It's El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Like that, something like that. Here's El. It comes from this. And here it is. When you, very similar to God, but in your Bible, it'll be different than that. It comes from Genesis 17:1. Please open your Bibles there and read that. And Abraham was 90 years old, and the Lord appeared, the Lord, Jehovah, see it there, appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty Elohim. Walk before me and be thou perfect. A God who will never break his side of the covenant. I am the Almighty One. I'll stop there because I think Brother Elvin clarified that last week. Abundantly able and sufficient to keep his covenants. Regardless of how I understand it, or regardless of my ability to understand. And so when Abraham and Sarah were past age, ladies, it wasn't going to happen. Sarah was too old. And God came and said, I am El Shaddai. You will know me by my name because I'm a covenant-keeping God, and you're going to have a child. And it happened. She did. In spite of every odd that a woman knows. God keeps His promises. That's the one you can get here. God keeps His promises. He's a never-changing God. And when you read, I am God Almighty, or Almighty God, suddenly grab a hold of it. This is saying, this is the God who keeps His word. It's true. And no matter what the circumstances are going on about me at this moment, and what might seem to be so irrational, and what seems could not be ever true, I am God Almighty. And when you read in the Bible again and again and again, I am God Almighty, God keeps His covenants. Four times Balaam attempted to curse Israel. Four times he could not. And two times, as he tells about that in the Bible, he says and uses this word, God Almighty, four times. He tried to kiss Israel. Two times he refers that I saw God El Shaddai. I saw God Almighty. Then there's another one. So when you read it in your Bible, when you read God Almighty, it's not a no publisher edited it out. It had a meaning. No editor had the right to do so. It's God inspired. God wrote it. He meant it. Believe it. And then there's one more I want to show you. And it's Strong's number 136. And it's something like this. Adonai, And when you see it in your Bible, it will be this way. Specific. Lord, lowercase. All lowercase. This means that God is a divine master. He made us. He created us. He has the last word. He has the first word. Not the last word. He has the first word and the last word. That was the nature of a slave. That's the nature of an employee today. John says to those who he's responsible for, he says, go do this today. They're his slaves. He's the master. And this is divine Elohim, Jehovah God, El Shaddai, Almighty Master. First time this name shows up in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 15. Verse 2. And Abram said, open your Bibles there and look at it. Abram said, Lord God, wilt thou give me, seeing I... That's not the one I wanted. That's not the scripture I wanted. Oh, yes, it is. It is Master God. It's lowercase, Master God. Master Jehovah. Master Jehovah. The kings of Mesopotamia had just taken Lot and his family, and Abraham was crying out to Master Jehovah. And you know that story. And he gave tithes to the Most High God, or Elohim. Abraham had many servants and many slaves. He knew the human master lord concept. And that's why he paid tithes to the king of Salem. And in a vision of God, there he used this name, O Lord God. In 15, it says he saw a vision. And in that vision, he said, O Master Jehovah. This name means master. There's another place I want to point it out, and I'm missing a very lot. But this name, I want us to understand, is the name of Jesus Christ and discipleship and the way we walk in the new covenant. And I want to show you the scripture in Exodus yet and make a few comments about that, and then I will close. Look at this scene. And look exactly what happened in Exodus chapter, the burning bush chapter. I'm looking for the verse. Look it up while you're reading your, I'll tell it. Look it up while you're eating your sandwiches at lunch. What happened there? God went, called Abraham, Moses to the burning bush. And then he said, go back and serve my people. And there's a very explicit verse there. And Moses said, oh, Lord God, I can't do it. And God became angry. Why do you suppose God became angry? Do you think today that Elohim has some anger for a man or a woman who would say, oh, Lord God, oh, Master Jehovah, and immediately say, but I can't do it? Remember that story where a man came to Jesus and he said, what can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus gave him the answer. What happened? He said, I can't do it. Remember that story in Acts where two men and a man and a woman came and they wanted to do some things for God? The name was Ananias and Sapphira. See, this affects every aspect of our life. We may not and should not ever say, oh, Lord God, oh, Master Jehovah. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's 100 different things in your life where God says, and you say, oh, Lord, Master. But don't do the things which please the Father. Elohim, God, has justice for that. I've said enough. May God bless you. Will you serve Him? God has never changed. He continues to reveal Himself in all kinds of human experience till He comes in power and great glory. And the Bible says, He comes, Jesus, with a sword in His mouth. I cannot understand a Jesus like that because he has not been that in my life. But he will be if I say, oh, Lord God, and do not obey him in all areas of life. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.